Welcome once again, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Kyle, the student of the game, and to my right, Chris and Weasel is hiding. I guess he's that worried about the Vikings' hopes of doing well this year. I mean, fortunately, he'll be able to pay. Maybe we'll give an opportunity to pay more attention to the Bears and make his, by that time, new wife happy. He's getting married in 2 weeks, which is good news for him, and we won't be able to do all the stuff on the air to congratulate him because he's hiding. But at any rate, Chris and I are still here to bring you preseason action to get you rolling here. And since the last time, been a couple things that have occurred. Most specifically, it was locked in shortly after we concluded our podcast last time. But Tim Tebow is now a Jet. Still a little bit of talk about what the Saints are going to do to handle Bounty Gate and move on in the future. And we'll also touch on a little bit about if you're the Colts, which way should you go at the number one pick? Griffin or Luck, and well, how the Colts feel or what our guesses actually come to be actually have any impact. Like, is there any realistic chance it'll be Griffin at all? But we'll talk. We'll start opening up. First of all, the Saints with Bounty Gate. First of all, let's get this out of the way because even though Roger Goodell won't officially hear it until tomorrow, I think you and I, Chris, are both pretty certain what's going to happen here. Sean Payton is actually appealing his suspension along with Jason Witt and having Roger Goodell hear their appeals. During this week, the appeal panel has been listening to arguments, and they are expediting it as if it were a player appeal in order to get it going quicker. Roger Goodell said to be levying a decision by Friday. Really, is there any chance that this is going to go through?
I think he's just trying to hope that it was, you know, maybe shorten it a little bit for the whole year, maybe down to 8 games, like what we originally said, it would be like half a season.
Yeah, we first called he was going to say half a season. I think I like the concept of the 1 year, really. I mean, well, I don't have a problem with that myself. Another thing that we need to keep mindful of is in this time, Sean Payton during this week is now allowed to still, for an extra week at least, interact with the team and help them with draft preparation. So maybe he just wanted to buy that extra week, although I would argue it's a little bit of a risky way to do it. So there's that too. Now, something that has kind of developed since the last time we talked about it was the concept of bringing in an interim coach to replace Payton for the particular year in question. And the Saints have turned some eyebrows by finding a very, at the very least, interesting prospect of going with 71-year-old Bill Parcells to fill the void behind Sean Payton during his suspension. And, I mean, you know, one, he's won a Super Bowl in the past. He has a history of turning teams around. And I think Sean Payton has even admitted that he's a bit of a confidant, you know, unofficially, of course, in matters of the pigskin. Of course, you know, our local Giant fan, knowing the name Bill Parcells very well. It's very interesting. Chris, do you have any thoughts offhand about how Parcells is going to fit in to this system?
Well, he has the head coaching experience and GM experience.
Yeah, so that's very true.
Yeah, the GM of the Saints is out half a year as well. He's out 8 games.
Right.
So that's kind of why I think with Payton, you know, he has a good relationship with Parcells when they were over in Dallas when Payton was an assistant.
Yeah, with Sean. Yeah, Sean Payton was one of his prodigies, so to speak. Yeah.
So I mean, he's got a year. Get away from the wife for about a year. He could do a little GM, and also, you know, he can have the assistant coaches, an offense coordinator, defense coordinator, call their plays, and
right,
just oversee it, really.
And that's
the first 8 games he fits in that GM role.
Yeah, and it's funny, the other nuance of this is that Jason Witt, the person who, if there was to be an internal interim coach, himself is out for 6 weeks. So that makes Parcells, that pretty much guarantees that somebody's going to have to take the head coaching job for at least those 6 weeks. And people have posed the question, you know, since there was talk that Payton was going to get suspended, what happens if the other guy does good? Since Parcells is 71, I don't think he's looking to take the job over outright. I mean, hell, he was a GM, essentially a head of football operations in Miami. He was over kind of being the guy at head coach, especially after the Cowboys gig. But something that worries me just a little bit, you know, the timing fits. No one's going to try to replace Peyton. Sean Payton is somebody who's still beloved in New Orleans. They want to try to keep that right. I'm with all that. But if you look at some of, if you look at Parcells' past teams, I mean, even if you go back to the Giants, you know, they had a solid solid running core underneath them, and then you had Phil Sims throwing the ball and relying on tough defense, Lawrence Taylor, all that, you know, and that's how they ended up with that Super Bowl. Then you go over to, you know, his next stop. I don't remember what precisely that is. It's not, the Patriots. Duh. Yeah. He turned that franchise into something special. You know, Dorsey Levins, again, being a big running threat at that point. Sure, he had the advent of, I think that's Drew Bledsoe days back then, yeah?
Yes, it was.
Wow. I'm amazed I'm remembering all this crap. And I don't know that Curtis Martin was in the fold at that time or not, but again, pretty strong running attack. Tough football, very little finesse at all. Then he goes to the Cowboys, a lot more tough football going on there, and you know, did not have Drew Bledsoe, but instead Quincy Carter. That didn't go well, but it set the foundation for a team that was at least playoff worthy a few times. Wade Phillips did take him to the playoffs a couple times, and oh, by the way, you know, defensive coordinator for now, the first time playoff running Houston Texans. And then in Miami, we're talking about building up again with strength, Jake Long, Ronnie Brown, getting Ricky Williams back, making them into kind of a running squad before he left as well. Complete antithesis to what you expect in a Sean Payton offense. Finesse, airborne, flying down the field. That part might be a little rough. Because if Bill Parcells is calling plays, there's a little bit of difference in psychology there. So I mean, you kind of see where that might counteract in terms of philosophy there.
Yeah, but I mean, it's really I think he's just more of a GM. Just make sure everything, if he does step in.
Oh, so he's just going to stand there and let the defensive guy call the plays and let Drew Brees call the offense.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even the offensive coordinator is still the same from last year, even though Sean Payton is the one that called the plays.
Yeah, but, I mean, you got someone in place.
All you do is just replay the tape. All right, what play did he call on this? All right, let's play this one.
You got to remember, it's very important to put the plastic card over your mouth while you're calling the play.
Right.
Because in that way, you know...
But,
so,
I mean, yeah, he did get Drew Bledsoe over in Dallas as well before he left there to win.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he came back for a short time here. Yeah.
but also, they do have decent running backs over there in New Orleans as well.
Yeah, Pierre Thomas, Ingram.
Mark Ingram.
Yeah.
And Chris Ivory.
Sproles.
Darren Sproles. So,
I don't know. That'll be interesting to see. It's definitely not smash mouth football, but to this extent, though, If they end up playing with a lot of backups on defense, maybe perhaps they'll get inspired to be more ticked off without the advent of a bounty system in place, because that's kind of a Bill Parcells philosophy, is to play hard nosed as such. So maybe they got something there. I mean,
right. Didn't they play smash mouth football last year?
Well, right, exactly. Like I said, without the bounties, right. You know, exactly. So I think both of us, a lot of people have asked, you know, what are the Saints' chances to compete next year? I'm not going to say anything like they're going to make the Super Bowl. I don't think they're going to make it as far as they did last year, where they beat the Niners beat them one game short of conference championship Sunday. However, it's not far-fetched for them to be a first-round football team. Because you and I both know it's all on Drew Brees, and that offense is airborne and is quite proficient. Their defense, so the threat is that they're going to lose some of their players on defense. Since their defense sucked anyways, why does that matter? Mm-hmm. Now the part where they're probably going to get hurt is in the future. I think they're going to do better the coming season than two seasons from now, because then they won't have that draft pick to have built on. That'll have implications for how much they can trade and how much they can offer up in the offseason. And contracts are going to start to go up, and players are going to start to transition. That's going to be an issue. But for the coming year, let me pop quiz you, Chris. Over or under 10.5 wins?
Trying to think. I know we don't have the schedule yet. So
we don't have schedules yet. This is very tough. I understand that. But see, I mean, keep in mind, it's Panthers twice, yeah. Falcons twice, Bucks twice. And I'm not sure who else they play this year, so. I'll do this
I'm
for
gonna,
you.
I'm going to say over. I'll still go over.
He's going with the over.
I'll go with over because you still got the offense intact. Drew Brees there. Yeah, they lost an offensive lineman, but they also put one back in, so.
Yeah, they got a solid guy coming back.
They just signed a middle linebacker as well, just in case. Or actually a linebacker because he can play either inside or outside just in case. The Jonathan Vilma suspension.
$10,000 for five. Yeah. So that could be promising. I'm not bold enough to say over 10.5, and I had to change it to 10.5 instead of 10 because I think they're going to win 10 games. I mean, what would kill us here is if Cam Newton actually manages to beat the Saints, because that defense being that much more weak might give Cam Newton and the Panthers an opportunity to do something to him. Who knows?
Yeah, but I mean, they signed three linebackers in the offseason. Chris Chamberlain, David Hawthorne, and Curtis Lofton. Lofton came over from the Falcons, and mm-hmm. Chamberlain came from the Rams.
So, yeah, so that's
Hawthorne from the Seahawks, one of their top linebackers.
Yeah, Hawthorne was he was a pretty major name there, too. That defense is indeed underrated. But as far as any of that's going, I think I have the Saints at 10 games, so technically I'd have to say under. And, I mean, a playoff run is possible for them. So.
And they also got Broderick Bunkley from the Broncos.
Former Eagle defensive tackle as well. Yeah, yeah. That's a big deal. Him alongside of Cedric Ellis is going to matter.
Right.
So, at any rate, so that ought to wrap it up for the Saints. I might have to actually do up a special session, you know, by myself here for 5 minutes talking about how retarded it is, if that appeal actually is accepted. But, you know, don't bet on it. So, speaking of unpredictable moves, in a shocking move, the Jets managed to acquire one Tim Tebow. And the debate began off the bat. We're going to go over kind of quick because at this point, this is kind of old news. So we might have touched on this a little bit last time, but we'll say it now. The pop quiz here is this. Over or under 2.5 games before Tim Tebow is named starter with the Jets?
I would have to say over.
I'm going to say over, too, because I think it's going to happen closer to week six. Remember, it took 5 games to get Orton in place. Oh, wow. Yeah, I did that by complete accident. So I'm going to say 6 games in. I'm not sure where their bye week is going to be, so it'll be either week 7 or 8. And I really got to see what their running back situation is going to be, too, because McKnight's cut, Tomlinson's all but retired, and Sean Green, we got to see what he's doing. They need help there. If they go running back in the draft, I've heard worse ideas. I'm just throwing that out there. So, let me ask you, Chris, because I know I have my feelings on why they did it. What were the Jets thinking even going for Tebow in the first place?
Just the energy he brings to the team. I mean, he picks up the defense like he did in the Broncos over in Denver. Picks up the defense as well as the offense. He, you know, that was kind of what they were missing last year when they got rid of Brad Smith,
mm-hmm.
of that Wildcat formation.
Yep.
They were missing that. They knew they had no chance with Peyton. They, you know, talked to Peyton's people, and he's not even interested in the Jets, so they didn't try going after it. So when Tebow came up, they're like, you know, they have that turmoil in the locker room. They're hoping that could change with him. Only bad thing about it is they have 2 quarterbacks that can't throw down the field now.
Well, you know, and that's what's funny about it. Do you want the quarterback who's capable of throwing the perfect ball down the field, but for every perfect ball will give you an absolute turd? Or will you get the guy who consistently kind of does it? I mean, that's what's tough about it, right? I mean, Sanchez obviously being the latter.
Sanchez never would throw the ball down the field. If he does, it's horrible. It's out of bounds, like those the fly patterns, you know, those are out of bounds. Tebow, yeah, he can make those throws, But he misses three of them before he makes the one.
Yeah, he misses for everyone too. Right, exactly. He's made those throws. It's just not consistent. And of course, the important term to add here is yet. You know.
But Tebow plays Rex Ryan style football, smash mouth football.
Yeah.
You know, we're gonna run it down your throat, and you get Tebow on the outside against a corner or safety. He's not going down.
I'll tell you, if a dude's going to have a shot at interacting with Santonio Holmes, it would have to be like a Tebow, a savior type like that. And what you mentioned about the locker room is interesting, that it's in turmoil. And the concept is that getting Tebow would end or move towards ending said turmoil. Here's the problem, though. Bringing in a quarterback controversy that's supposed to solve locker room problems? That's a little confusing. You know, but I will say this, everything else you're saying there, right, though, it makes sense that they're replacing Brad Smith. But something I thought of, if you're the Jets, you've brought Tebow to a team where he's going to have to play Bill Belichick twice, who soundly beat him both times they played him last year. So that'll be interesting. One of two things will happen. Either Tebow will continue to lose as predicted, or all in a sudden, you know, maybe Tebow's that extra piece for Rex Ryan to fool Bill Belichick again. Because, I mean, you know, in the past, in the playoffs, the Jets have won that game, Jets-Patriots. So
right, but they lose them in the season.
During
last
the season.
Last year, they lost them both, and pretty bad.
Yeah, too. And I think that's definitely what kept them out of the playoffs. So, but anyways, let's go ahead and jump over to our next piece here. Now, there's a lot of talk. Jim Irsay has claimed, we've not decided on Andrew Luck yet. We may yet take RG3, Robert Griffin III, yes, too. So, which brings me to a bit of a identity crisis, Chris, because all this time we've been talking about how the Colts need to suck for Luck, when all this time, in all reality, what they were really doing was whiffing for Griffin. I'm just saying, that's rough for me to get over that. But even aside from any of that, I look at it myself, who should they take? Me, personally, if they took Griffin instead, I really wouldn't blame them. Because where's the weakness in the offense? Yeah, other than at quarterback. They're working on that. The weakness in the offense, to me, is the interior line. Now, if that interior line explodes, RG3 can just zip to the outside on you know, either run it out or, you know, extend time. But the argument would be that Andrew Luck would do the same. So it seems to be said a lot, too, that Andrew Luck is more, quote-unquote, pro-ready at this time, and he's the safer pick and all this. So, I mean, that's kind of where I stand. If they picked Griffin, I wouldn't knock them for it, but what do you have to say on that?
See, they scheduled Luck for a tryout to come up there.
Mm-hmm.
RG3 kind of, I think, turned it down.
He did turn it down. I was going to get to that in a minute.
He didn't. I'm looking at free agency right now with the Colts. They had 27 players hit free agency. And that's not, that's including Peyton. 27, they only re-signed two of them, which was Robert Mathis, who was on a franchise, and Reggie Wayne.
Reggie Wayne, yeah.
But they lost Jacob Tammy, Jeff Saturday.
To the Packers.
Yeah. Mike Pollock, who's another starting offensive lineman. Another offensive lineman, help me with it, he just retired. Can't think of his name. I don't think he's on here. But they also lost Jerome Felton, who was the fullback. Pierre Garçon to the Redskins.
Yep.
Anthony Gonzalez, who's been hurt the last 3 years, so it's not
anymore
about that, to the Patriots. Right. Jacob Lacey, who's a starting corner, or he's the third nickel corner, to the Lions.
They have a history, though, for turning corners over. I mean, Malcolm Jenkins hasn't been a Colt in a while. They do still have Antoine Bethea, but I think that's because he wasn't on a free agency.
But then Joseph Addai's gone. Jamal Anderson, his backup defense end, went to the Bengals.
He wasn't all that impressive,
yeah,
anyway.
No. But, I mean, I'm looking at the list. I mean, they released Dallas Clark. They don't even have a team, it seems like, right now. And they haven't moved. They haven't really done anything, you know, in the offseason as well. With I don't even think it matters if they have Luck or Griffin. It's, yeah, RG3 can take off down the field.
But
you know, Andrew Luck's more of a Peyton-style quarterback that he will get that ball before the, you know, out of there before the protection breaks down.
Well, and he's going to need to on top of
and,
that.
You know,
truth is, though, I mean, he had, what, like a 4.6 40? I mean, hell, that's way
4.67.
4.67, yeah. So that's better than anything Peyton could have hoped for when he ran the combine.
Right. So, I mean, that was only, what, 0.26 less than Griffin?
I'm just saying.
But then again, you look at the stats in college or senior year a lot this past season, Griffin had more yards with two less completions than Andrew Luck.
Well, I mean, that's
granted,
a result of several
speed,
things.
Yeah, granted, speed, but
I don't know. I mean, what kind of? I don't know Baylor's schedule off the bat, nor do I know Andrew Luck. So
Big Ten, Pac 10.
Yeah. Anyways, so
they both had over 300 yards rushing, though.
I think the fact that Griffin refused the tryout has already really sealed the fate. We know what's going to happen here. So I mean, Luck's definitely going there. But here's a compelling question I thought of just while you were going through those names. Where do you think Dallas Clark's going to end up?
Originally I thought it was going to be Peyton, Reggie, and Dallas Clark down in Miami.
Yeah, not so much.
Right. And then even with Saturday.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, they can get Saturday. You can move
Pouncey
over to guard, which is his normal position. But then Peyton went there. Saturday went to the Packers. I don't know.
My thought. I think a team that should snag him up right now on the quick, the Baltimore Ravens. Him and Dennis Pitta? Oh, yeah. That's a good time. Just throwing that out there.
Like I said, the Giants do it.
That would be a good fit for the Giants as well. I mean, Bear, Pasco, and what's their other guy's name?
Jake Ballard.
They're both pretty solid.
They re-signed Ballard.
Yeah.
In Denver, they had Jacob Tammy, who was a Colt.
Yeah.
And then also Joel Dressen.
So, I mean, I think there's going to be a market for Dallas Clark that does develop, because people are going to want to copycat that ace formation that the Patriots got with Gronkowski and Hernandez. Really, what would be funny is if that's the Niners. It's not going to happen, I know. But then you got...
You don't need them.
I know you don't need them, but it would be funny, because then it would be Moss, Crabtree,
Manningham,
Vernon Davis, and Dallas Clark. That's retarded! It's not going to happen. But oh my gosh!
But you got Kenyatta Walker, too.
You do have
Delaney Walker, sorry.
And Kendall Hunter's running back. But,
all right.
As running backs go, they did end up with Brandon Jacobs, so that's a hell of a backfield in itself anyway. But that's ridiculous. But no, Peyton Manning wanted to stay in Denver.
As you went.
Anyways.
Well, you moved on. Niners, you think there's a topic?
Alex Smith re-signed, yes.
Yeah. Do you think they're a Super Bowl contender now? You know, everyone was talking about that.
Yeah. And you know, the part that makes me hesitate is that defense wins championships, and they got a lot of guys back. They got Deshaun Gulston, franchise. They signed Carlos Rogers. And that all makes me feel really good. They got Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis still, and all that's looking great. But man, God, Alex Smith makes me scared. Are they a Super Bowl contender? I'm going to say yes. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. So by definition, if you make the playoffs, unless you're Tim Tebow, you're a Super Bowl contender. But I don't think they're going to win it with Alex Smith. I hope to be proven wrong and get San Francisco 6-0, just like I should have had last year. But
yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the free agency right now. They have not lost really anyone.
Right.
I mean, Shanti Spencer, is he a starter corner?
No, not lately. He's kind of a nickel guy.
Adam
now.
Snyder, is he a starter?
Snyder is a lineman. We need him. He'd be. I think he's a tackle. I could be wrong.
Center.
He was a center. Yeah. Okay. Because they got rid of Eric Heitman, that's right.
Reggie Smith, safety.
Yeah, that'd be nice. But
right. Josh Morgan, receiver with the Redskins. You upgraded with Manningham.
Yeah. I'm wondering who's returning punts, though.
Ted Ginn Jr.
Well, no.
Yeah, they re-signed him.
No, they did re-sign
him. Yeah, they re-signed him.
Good.
And then Blake Costanzo, linebacker.
Yeah.
5 years experience, went to the Bears. That's it. That's all they've lost, really.
Pretty solid linebacker.
I mean, there's other ones that, those are the ones that they were completely lost, but then still with the other, Deshaun Goldston, you said, was franchised.
Mm-hmm.
Braylon Edwards was released. Larry Grant, another linebacker.
He's pretty good. He's a good backup role.
Maureen Norris, the fullback, is unrestricted free agent, but you got Bruce Miller.
Yeah, Bruce Miller and Delanie Walker. Don't get me wrong, I like right. Norris too, but
yeah, Delanie Walker is more of a tight end though.
Yeah, well, he did do some fullback and did do a pretty decent job of doing it.
Justin Peele, the tight end.
Eh, I guess.
Yeah, but
maybe they think like Dallas Clark.
Maybe Dallas Clark. I think I'm going to need to just root for the Niners next year.
At any rate, I mean, you know, you got to get Dallas Clark just in case Randy Moss doesn't feel like playing.
They released the hippie, Britt Swain.
Okay.
Britt Swain. He was the one with the long hair, hippie, white guy.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Anyway, so, yeah, I mean, there's a whole lot of possibility as far as that's going there, too. So, we have a situation I've been hearing about lately a lot. I mean, I've been listening to my friends over at WTMY on occasion, too. And there appears to be a lot of disgust with LeGarrette Blount in Tampa and how they should definitely draft Richardson at number 5. I'm not understanding that. Are you? Are they that worried about LeGarrette Blount? I mean, it's been 3 whole years since he's thrown a punch on a field, so...
He fumbled a lot last year.
And you know
what? Greg Schiano already said, you fumble, you sit. So
well,
who else do they have at running back? They're weak at running back.
Well, there's that, too. But, I mean, that's something you can teach, right? I mean, it's been taught before. You're a Giants fan. You saw Tiki. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, they really don't have a high price tag running back. LeGarrette Blount just signed, you know, an exclusive rights tender for $300,000.
Was it really that low?
It was low, $550,000. I think that's what the league minimum is.
For a franchise tender?
Yeah.
Damn. Oh, wow. I didn't know it was that low. Okay.
Yeah. $540,000.
It must be because he's still restricted, technically.
Next season. Yeah. So. I mean, but I think Cleveland is going to go get Richardson at 4. So
I do too.
At 5, Bucks go for Claiborne.
You know, and here's the thing that sucks about that. Here's where the Browns screwed up. They should have made the trade with the Rams instead of the Skins. First of all, they'd have to give up less because they have the number 3 pick and they were right there anyway. Here's the other thing.
Four,
thank you. They were right there anyway. Here's the thing. The Browns have Colt McCoy, who is okay. I'm not ready to say he's awesome. I'm farther away from saying he's bad than saying he's good. Remember how James Harrison rocked him like a hurricane that one game? And Mike Holmgren claimed that the medical staff didn't see it and all that, and concussions, and basically missed a number of games and all that due to that. There's really not a consensus as to how that will affect him in the coming season, or career, I should probably say. So, them needing a quarterback is a pretty big deal. And here's what I'm scared of for Browns fans out there. That they're going to stretch and try to acquire a Ryan Tannehill out of Texas A&M. You see that possibly happening?
Yeah, I think that's a wasted pick. If you're going to do that, it's your trade down at least to get something next year or later on in this year, if they do.
Well, let me put it to you this way, my friend. Who, just this past draft, we had people reaching for quarterbacks as such. Example, Vikings won Christian Ponder. And it went pretty well for him. However, the Jags did the same with Blaine Gabbert. And not so much. So, yeah. I'm really worried that the Browns are going to go that direction.
Granted,
I'm just saying.
Granted, I mean, Blaine Gabbert had no receivers, no offensive line.
Yes.
In Jacksonville.
That's very true.
So
the jury's still out on him.
Right.
I'm not saying he's a bust.
You gotta see what he does if they upgrade there. I mean, they still haven't really done much as well. Just looking. At Tannehill, they have him as the number 8, top 32.
Well, so that means the Dolphins are gonna get him? Oh, great. Something else for Dolphins fans to complain about. I don't even know there.
Yeah, I mean, if I was Cleveland, you have to go with, I would say, Justin Blackmon, get a receiver for Colt McCoy.
And you're assuming that the Vikings don't snag him.
Oh, yeah, well, it's almost guaranteed that Matt Khalil will go to the Vikings because they lost offensive linemen. They need an offensive lineman. Yeah, even though I'd like them to trade down, too, see if they can get it, you know. Trade down, too, and see maybe Maurice Claiborne, because they need some secondary as well.
Yeah, that's true, too, which you mentioned Maurice Claiborne. Let's kind of make a transition here, too. And the only reason why you and I are bringing this up is because too many people who get paid to do this, way more than us, which is right now zero, are making a big deal about Claiborne getting a low Wonderlic score. Now, first of all, these scores are supposed to be confidential in the first damn place, and lo and behold, yeah, confidential. Make sure that's in quotes, because they're
confidential, but it's sent to all 32 teams. It's confidential.
Whatever.
Yeah, like there's no leak there.
And I mean, look, it's not like Vince Young when he's had a poor score and he's a quarterback. Okay, it's a damn corner. Chris, let me ask you this, just you know, so I can see if you're on my page. How much, quote-unquote, thinking or strategizing, how often have you seen the corner be the captain of the defense?
Not very often.
I would venture to say it's going there. Other than maybe Darrell Revis, there may not be a captain at corner in this league. Well, I take that back. Maybe Rondé Barber with the Bucks, but who knows?
But Rondé wasn't in until later on in his career, if he was.
Right.
Because you had Derek Brooks and John Lynch before. They usually have a safety before.
Oh, yeah. That was definitely Lynch.
But that was,
yeah,
that was also with the Jets. Revis wasn't. It was Jim Lynch.
Or not Jim Leonard.
Leonard, sorry.
I can see where you get confused. Yeah, they're both white dudes who hit the hell out of people.
Right. Well, I usually call him Brian Leonard, who was running back. So yeah, there you go. Like Charles saying Jim, and I'm like Jim Lynch.
See, we got to find it somewhere in the middle. No. Of course, that could backfire. You could call Brian him Brian Lynch. Lynch. Yeah, that's right. So as far as all that goes, no, but so from that standpoint, is he fast? No. Can he cover? I don't see why a corner needs to take the Wonderlic. Pop quiz. More pointless test. A corner taking a Wonderlic or getting the vertical jump for an offensive lineman? I'm just asking.
I think the worst is getting the offensive lineman. I mean, come on. A vertical jump on an offensive lineman. Seriously. So, all right, he got 6 inches.
Anyways, so anything else you got to rattle off there?
No, I was actually, let me see here. I was actually like trying to look up, pull up Claiborne again.
Well,
we can do the top teams of free agency. We touched that a little bit, but
yeah. Well,
who do you think has been making the most moves in free agency?
I mean, okay. Well, first of all, we have to acknowledge them just because they got Manning. I mean, the Broncos have to count. But let's be damn honest here, okay? They had the most space under the cap, and they got Manning, and that's pretty much it. I know they made some other moves, but the one worthwhile is that one. The Niners got to get some points for getting what exactly they were missing. And it was pretty much only thing they were missing was a receiver core. Booyah. Oh, yeah, they were missing quarterback. Unfortunately, that failed too. Well, damn it. But the Niners, definitely big movers in free agency. I was very impressed to see that happen. And the reason why I say that is, sure, they got a lot of new talent at receiver, but the important thing is they kept some of the talent that was threatening to leave on defense. Huge, huge deal on that. For my money, once again, you see the Dolphins failing in the off-season acquisition department too, missing on Manning and really missing on Flynn or any other options that were out there. Props to the Seahawks, by the way, for realizing that Tavares Jackson is not the answer, and they pick up Flynn. I'm not going to call it a win for the Seahawks quite yet, but it's certainly moving in the right direction. As far as another team that was successful in the offseason, I'm going to... Oh, shoot, I just had it. I forgot what it is. Oh, yeah, the Bucks. There we go. I'm not a Vincent Jackson guy, but they did need a veteran, and hopefully, you know, he needed a scenery more than anything else with all the hate he got from the Chargers, A.J. Smith from the front office. So they got a better receiver there, something they kind of do need. And they also attained offensive line help as well to try to get that rolling. Here's the problem with the Bucks: the defense, other than Gerald McCoy, complete waste of space. Yeah, so, I mean, as far as that goes, anybody else who you thought was a complete loser in free agency?
I'd say my two picks was Cleveland and the Colts. Those are my two that are complete losers.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, considering all the talent that the Colts lost, you have to include them. They did somehow manage to retain Mathis and Reggie Wayne. But hey, money talks, I suppose. Somebody else who the jury's probably still out on is the Redskins. And let me ask you this, Chris. Their trade to become... They traded with the Rams to get the number two pick with hopes of getting the other quarterback, probably Robert Griffin III. And what was it they traded? It was two first-rounders, a second-rounder, and a third or something like that, just to move up, what was it, like four or five spots?
Yeah, four spots.
Yeah. So, I guess that's one where you understand why they did it, because they want to get Blake Griffin. But here's my problem. Did they mortgage too much of their future on that? Okay, yeah, they got Pierre Garçon, great. And who they got? Chris Cooley's aging.
Santana Moss.
He's aging. Yeah. If they'll even have him.
With Fred Davis, the other tight end.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he had a good year last year.
I mean, their running back core lately has been a revolving door, yeah. So I got a whole lot of nothing there.
You got Helu.
Yeah. And then their defense, they got rid of LeRon Landry, who I thought was their best player on D.
He left and got signed with the Jets.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I mean, that'll be a good replacement for the quiet last year. Well, last season was quiet, Jim Leonard. I think that was a good move for the Jets. But I don't know, man. What's there? Yeah. Anyways, so... As far as that goes, we're kind of winding down here, so we'll probably head towards wrapping up. If you have anything else you want to add or hear or opinion for something else for next show, go ahead and email us at thesotg@gmail.com. Follow us on the website, www.thestudentofthegame or thesotg.com. Both will work. Follow us on Twitter at thesotg, and you know, you can subscribe to us on iTunes if you're technologically inclined and you want to take us with you on the go and all that other happy stuff. So, we got anything else in there that you want to touch on real quick? Or
no, I was just looking at the sample Wonderlic questions. They have to answer 50 of them in 12 minutes.
So 50 in 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Next week, Chris's results. Until then, class dismissed.